Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
So close, Tampa Bay. Almost two calendar months in one regular season without losing regulation. But last night, we came up short. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford. I have news. What news? It's a new message from Bill Curry Ford. We'll talk about it a little bit later. So how you doing on a Friday in Tampa? It's dreary here in Tallahassee, just raining nonstop. Cats and dogs, just like the pessimist Lightning fans, are looking at the world today. Dreary and dark. There's no hope in sight. I hope most of you out there are more level-headed Bolts fans, because there's a lot of good that's come in the last 3 to 4 weeks. And I know we've slumped three games since we last spoke, 6 points available to the Tampa Bay Lightning. We grabbed 4 of those points. Maybe deserved 2 of them. I'm not sure how many we actually deserved out of the 6. But Tampa Bay does grab a win on Monday in a shootout against the LA Kings. And then on Wednesday, we win in overtime against the Rangers last night. Our 15th game in 28 days, and we looked beleaguered. We had it handed to us by Boston. The 4-1 score is both representative of how Boston outplayed us and not representative of how well Louis Domingue was in net for Tampa Bay last night. What can you do? We were talking about it on my day job, the Jeff Cameron Show up here, ESPNTallahassee.com. On the way out, we were breaking down the Bolts game and a big matchup for Boston, and that's exactly what it was. It was a huge game for Boston as they are trying to stay out in front of and create some space between themselves and Toronto for second place in the Atlantic Division. With a win last night over Tampa Bay, Boston completes the month of February without a regulation loss. We suffered just one this calendar month, and they pulled it within just 17 points, first place in our division. There are still 17 points between the two of us. Boston has 18 games to go. We have 17 games to go. This game meant so much more to Boston than it did us, and we're tired. Ambush Central, and that's what it looked like on the ice last night. If we go another week, week and a half, and we look reluctant to dump and chase when a team is going to stand up along the blue line and deny us the ability to carry the puck in the zone, then I'll be a little bit worried. But as it was last night, you could see Boston was skating circles around us for most of the game, save for the beginning of the third, and they went to a place that we weren't prepared to go. I don't think it was a lack of will. I think it was just a lack of legs. And so for Tampa, now that we go down the stretch, 17 more games, it's about managing any type of injury, any type of wound you need to tend to. Take care of your bodies. I'm about done with the superlatives. If we flirt with history and we're one of the best teams in the last 50 to 60 years in terms of point plateau we reach, great. But let's not do so at the expense of airing out that extra 10% in a tank to set those records. Let's be right for the thing that matters the most. This is a Stanley Cup or bust season. I've said that since the beginning, and it remains to be true. Now the NHL looks at Tampa and says, yeah, I mean, you guys need to win the cup. You're clearly the best team in the NHL this year. So if you do anything but win the Stanley Cup, this year will be a disappointment. Well, that's nothing new, national reporter. That's what we've been expecting in Tampa all year long. So gear up for that part of the year. I know John Cooper said last night after the disappointing performance against Boston that Andre Vasilevsky is not going to get any extra rest. Well, that's because he hasn't hit his games played plateau. If he plays most of the games between now and the end of the regular season, the next 6 weeks, he's still going to be in that lower 50, mid-50 range of starts for the season. That's perfect. That's perfect. He should have plenty of energy to finish the job when we hit that sprint for the Stanley Cup. But the other guys, if your defensemen need some time off, if your forwards do, yes, this is these are the moments. March is the time to get them a couple of nights off. And for me, the number one concern that is legitimate as we go down the stretch here, it's 5-on-5 play. That's all I'm looking at here on out. I know our power play is really good. I know our PK is really good. But how do we score and what is our differential 5-on-5 from here to game 82? That is what I'm going to be looking at. I want to see if the lines 1, 2, 3 look to be up to speed. Are they balanced? Do we have scoring coming consistently from each of the top 9? And where is our fourth line at in terms of, is it going to be Ryan Callahan that we want to play in the playoffs? Danik Martell, time to show and prove. Matthew Joseph, time to show and prove. Talk about him a little bit more in a minute, after the break, actually. Let's figure out our combos, because it looks like we can be stopped in this moment. It's hard to parse out, is that because we're slumping or is it just because we're tired? That's what I want to look at the next few weeks. So, for example, I'm going to do this every week now until the end of the regular season. We played 3 games, Kings, Rangers, Bruins. 5-on-5 play in the LA game, we were outscored 3-2. Okay? 5-on-5 play, Rangers game, we were outscored 3-2. 5-on-5 play against the Bruins, we were outscored 3-1. What is our goal differential going to be in 5-on-5 play from here to the end of the season? Because penalties are harder to come by. The referee's right arm is a little heavier in the postseason. He doesn't want to make those calls if he doesn't have to. They need to be egregious. They draw blood. You have the puck on your stick. You're in between the circles and you're in clean and you get tugged down from behind. Okay, I'll raise my hand. But a ticky-tack call along the boards like the one Victor Hedman had levied against him last night, not going to see it. You're not going to see that call. So, can we punch our own at our own weight class, 5-on-5, the way we did in the beginning of the regular season? Are we too dependent on the power play to get things done? Stamkos and Kucherov must score separate one another. That is critical moving forward. With that said, it sounds like the slate upcoming is really fun in the next month and a half. You've got Boston a couple of times. I believe it's 3 matchups with the Washington Capitals before we are done for this regular season. Winnipeg's on the slate. I'm pulling up the schedule right now, but it's going to be quite challenging. I love those matchups with the Caps down the stretch because you know Washington understands what it takes to win. We just saw it last year when they beat us heads up and they were the tougher team for 7 games. But, I mean, Toronto, we have one more matchup with them. Look at this, our last week and a half. Actually, I can go back farther than that. So from March 20th on, this is something else. You got Washington, Carolina, who will be on the bubble for the playoffs. At St. Louis, you host Boston, you host Washington. You get a bit of a breather on April 1st. That's at Ottawa. Then you travel to Montreal, to Toronto, and to Boston. I mean, you do a Canadian plus Boston 4-game road trip to close out the season, and all of those teams are going to be hungry. Should be really interesting. The week ahead for the Bolts sees us playing Ottawa tomorrow night. That's back home in Tampa. We host the Winnipeg Jets on Tuesday, March the 5th. And then Thursday, we're playing Minnesota, also at home. This is all part of a 4-game homestand before we speak on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast next week. A lot of hungry teams. When we came back after the All-Star break, I said it is desperation season. Well, that is it is ratcheted up one more notch. Ratcheted up one more notch between now and the end of the regular season. Not quite playoff intensity, but you did see an effort out of Boston last night in terms of how closely they checked and how much pressure they put on us as we tried to exit our defensive zone and how much of a squeeze they put on us, both blue lines. Neutral zone as we're exiting the zone, and then neutral zone as we're trying to enter Boston zone. That pressure was immense. It looked like there were 6 or 7 players on the ice. That's the kind of thing we're going to have to get used to fighting through between now and the end of the regular season. All right, a message from our friends at Bill Curry Ford. And then I got some comments on something Mike Milbury said in the broadcast last night, and then also a question that was posed my way before we got into this week's slate. It's a little late, but it's from a big listener of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. His name is Wright, and he was asking me about combinations, and maybe Matthew Joseph should be considered in the top 6. But first, Bill Curry Ford, well, they want to focus on the true nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles these days. That's what they want you to know about. All of the easy details are at BillCurryFord.com, and it's more than just a powertrain. Plus, all 2018 vehicles must go, up to $10,000 off. Reach out to our good friend Sean Sullivan, supporter of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast and new GM at Bill Curry Ford, or visit BillCurryFord.com right now. Thoughts on a Mike Milbury comment that I found interesting? I don't know if it was a slip. I think he was told something in confidence, and he repeated it on NBC Sports last night, answering a question, and then just a couple of news and notes as we finish out this week's version of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin go call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
So the NHL standings look as follows. When we started the second half after the All-Star break, there were going to be some knockdown dragouts. That's what I was previewing. As you know, spots 2 through 7 in the standings, if you just looked at it as a conference standings, were pretty packed. There's now some separation. However, with the separation doesn't come an idea, a real concrete idea of who's actually going to win the wild card and who's going to fill out position number 3 in the Metropolitan Division. So we're in first place in the Atlantic. We're at 102. Boston's behind us. In second place, they're at 85 points, 17 behind us. I just laugh. That's insane. Toronto is 20 points behind us at 82. It seems that Boston and Toronto are destined to dance together in the first round of the playoffs once again, and those two will be battling it out for who has home ice. In the Metropolitan Division, as we stand on Friday morning, March the 1st, happy March, everybody. The Islanders lead the way. 63 games played, they got 81 points. Washington is in second place in that division. They're at 79 points, but they played one more game than New York has. They're at 64 games. And by the way, the Islanders absolutely pasted Toronto last night. That was quite the overwhelming performance in Uniondale. Columbus holds down, as of this morning, this is where it starts to get tight. Columbus holds down position 3 in the Metro Division. They have 75 points through 63 games, and then to the wild card we go. Montreal, they'd have to go on some kind of crazy run to grab a top 3 seed. They are in wild card position 1 at 75 points. They played 64 games. Carolina and Pittsburgh have both played 63 games. They're at 74 points apiece. And then there's Philadelphia on the outside looking in. They'd have to do a ton of work. They're at 69 points through 64 games played. They traded, obviously, Wayne Simmons this week to Nashville. And while I'm talking about that, while I'm on that subject, very briefly, I'll give you my thoughts on the trade deadline and the Lightning standing pat. I was fine with it. You know, the Simmons deal, when it happened, I couldn't believe how low the price was. But in general, it seemed like the asking price for a lot of these assets was just way too high. And even though I might have liked to have seen a little bit more from us on defense, maybe another piece added on defense, I think our defensive core is about as good as you can ask for, and you just got to trust your players. This roster was assembled to do one thing, and that is win the Cup, and they have not disappointed through 60-plus games. You ride it out with them, and you're in a better position than most any other team in the sport. And in truth, you are in a better position than any other team in the sport to finish the deal. It's just really hard in hockey. It's not quite as random as baseball, but it's really hard in hockey that even though you're the best team, you get the job done. Sometimes teams get hot, specifically sometimes goaltenders get hot, and that can change everything about a best of 7. But we're in the best position of anybody in the league. So there you go. The Eastern Conference is pretty well tight at the bottom there. It's going to be a dogfight, especially that Pittsburgh, Carolina, Columbus trio. Montreal just needs to hold its own in order to grab a wild card spot. But Metro position 3 through wild card 2, going to be some great hockey down the stretch. In the West, if you care, Nashville's in first in the Central at 79 points, but they played 3 more games than second place Winnipeg, who has 78 points. The Blues are in position 3 because they've been red hot since New Year's, pretty much. 74 points for St. Louis. And in the Pacific, it's Calgary at 89 points, excuse me. They're 41-16-7. San Jose, they were really hot for a long time, but Calgary was right there with them. So San Jose is now 7 points behind first place Calgary. The Sharks have 82 points. Vegas Golden Knights at 73. And then the wild card situation is pretty packed in the West as well. Dallas 69, Minnesota 68, Colorado 68, and Arizona just on the outside looking in. I was bashing them left and right earlier this season on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. I apologize, Rick Tocchet and Coyotes Nation. 67 points. They've got as good a shot as anybody in that group in the West. Okay, so Mike Milbury's comments last night on NBC Sports. He's usually the curmudgeon, the old school guy who really doesn't understand what he's looking at in the modern game. When he gives you insights about defensive play and toughness, those are worth their weight. The other stuff is usually superfluous, oversimplified nonsense. But he's an emotional person, and I think maybe they just got him out of the studio role regularly to keep their sanity, because he was always too dismissive of things, and hopefully he doesn't call too many of our games in the postseason, but that remains to be seen. One thing he did say, though, and I think he broke confidence with our own Brian Engblom, and by our own, I mean Fox Sports Sun's Brian Engblom on the Tampa Bay Lightning broadcast. He said, I think it was in the second period last night, in the flow of play, might have been the first, that Brian Engblom mentioned to him that the Lightning were due. They had to be due for a couple of losses because we had it coming too easy to us and we were starting to get a little too cocky. And I find that really interesting on a couple of levels because, number one, Brian Engblom is, of course, embedded with us every day. And he has as good of an insight on where we stand as anybody. And number two, Brian never says a negative word. I mean, it's really hard for him on a replay of a goal, if somebody scores on us, it's really hard of him, hard for him to call a play stupid or brain dead or poor. He has to really effort to have that biting negative criticism on Sun Sports broadcasts of Lightning games. So for him to say that we're getting a little too cocky or a little too arrogant is a strong statement. Stamkos last night after the game was over said as much that maybe this is a blessing in disguise. We needed to have this happen to us. Okay, it's one thing if you're too tired to play the Bruins, but if you're too arrogant, if you're too cocky, and then you get beat up like that, humble pie is actually exactly what we need. We'll see moving forward when we have equal rest. The post game, I saw JR kind of ripped us, Jeremy Roenick ripped us, and then Anson Carter talked about us and said, hey man, I'd like to see the Lightning and Bruins play on even rest before I judge, you know, how they stack up against each other down the stretch. Agreed. Let's see what we look like with a relatively normal amount of rest as we've completed 15 games in 28 days. And then let's judge whether or not our heads are screwed on right. It's probably a little unfair to assume that our poor play against the Rangers for the last 40 minutes of that game and our poor play last night is solely because we're too cocky. I am the guy on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast who has said for the past year plus that we do have a bit of a culture of complacency, so consider my red flag raised in the air, but I want to take a look at this a little bit more. I think we've shown a great deal of maturity in 2018-19 compared to the maturity we showed, or lack thereof, in 2017 and 2018. I'm going to give us the benefit of the doubt, but if Brian Engblom says that in a moment of confidence, okay, let's keep a close eye on it, Tampa Bay. As to a question last week that was posed my way, this is at Wright Dobbs on Twitter. And you can always find me on Twitter at underscore Tom Lang if you want to talk some Lightning hockey. Who knows? Maybe a question of yours will be picked up right here on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. So last week I was discussing the top two lines and how Tyler Johnson's production has been pretty well awful since New Year's. He had 8 points in January and February entering the week. Of course, he scores the first goal on Wednesday night in the Madison Square Garden, the old Joe Bolts Fan bump. There you go. But we need more than that. And so on that note, Wright said this, Tom, great points on the second line with Tyler Johnson. First of all, Wright, I think it's 1A or 1B. Kucherov point and Johnson may be the first line, but that's just semantics. We're very talented, and you know that. I think with the chance to experiment, it would be interesting to see Matthew Joseph on that second line for a little thoughts. Just don't know what you do with Johnny if you try that. Well, a couple of things. Tyler Johnson is, last year especially against the Devils, Tyler Johnson seems to take it to a new level in the playoffs. As the checking gets tighter and the goals are uglier, he seems to flock to those dirty areas and get himself some high percentage chances, and he buries some of those chances. So I wouldn't want to remand him to the third or fourth line, you know, just for the sake of doing that for the rest of the season for an experiment. You got to be careful there. But as to Matthew Joseph, I'm glad I waited to answer this question until today's podcast. When he drew back in against the Kings on Monday night, I thought Matthew Joseph played terribly. I thought he was awful. His feet looked so heavy. He looked like he wasn't in game condition. That top-end speed that you're used to seeing was not there. But by the end of this week, as he was getting more regular time, you saw last night the best chance we had in the first period was him using his blazing speed and then putting one off the pipe behind Tuukka Rask, who caught a piece of it. It may be worth experimenting within the construct of a game, right? I don't know that you want to give that guy that much responsibility in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, the rookie jitters, and then obviously he's played a ton of games, and I don't know that you play this many games at this level for the first time and still have a whole lot of jump or count on somebody for a whole lot of jump in the playoffs. If you want to try it and it takes off, great. I just wouldn't count on it. He certainly is a candidate to be a game breaker with his speed, though, and as games become a little bit more tightly checked, that's going to stand out. If you get a loose puck in the neutral zone and he gets to go off to the races, fantastic. That is something that defenses have to think about, and it may create some more passing lanes for us in the neutral zone. Let's gear up his minutes a little bit and see if he catches fire on third and fourth line third and fourth line assignments the way JT Miller did before he graduated up to the first and second line. Way too many penalties the other night in New York, and JT was at the center of that. One of them I thought was questionable, but I love JT's game and his shot. And he seems to be peaking at the right time. I think it's continuing to show that JT is made for the post-trade deadline, as he was for us last year. I wish he drew a little bit more time with the first power play unit. But overall, you can experiment with whoever the hell you want. When you have a 15-point lead and there's or a 17-point lead and there's 17 games to go, you could do a lot of experimenting. It's just I wouldn't count on Matthew Joseph to draw top 6 minutes when we get to our first-round playoff matchup. That should about do it for this week's broadcast of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. I do appreciate everybody tuning in. It's not as happy, happy, joy, joy, so there won't be any music on the way out today. We did grab 4 out of 6 points, but, I mean, let's be honest, people. The way we played, I mean, maybe 2 points at most are what we deserved. We'll see how, if we get some rest now that we have a 4-game homestand coming up, do the legs come back to life? Very well could. And let's keep an eye on that note that Brian Engblom told Mike Milbury about being a little bit too cocky. Was the humble pie that we were served last night as Boston was skating circles around us for 80% of that game, was that enough to wake us up so we play the right way this upcoming week? Again, the schedule for this week for our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning, the Ottawa Senators, who are in a bad way, come to town tomorrow night. That's a little after 7 o'clock. That puck will drop on Tuesday. The Winnipeg Jets. What a great game we played against Winnipeg earlier this season in their barn. I think we lost that game in overtime, but it was one of the best games I've watched all season long, and we've played a lot of fun hockey games, the 1-0 kind, the 5-4 kind. So Winnipeg on Tuesday, you better have your ducks in a row for that game. Good test of maturity. Thursday night against Minnesota, all right, that's a team that's on that bubble. They're looking to get to the playoffs. They beat us in their building when we were on that road trip a couple months back. It might have been all the way back in football season, I think. So here's round 2, Tampa Bay, Minnesota. Are we mature enough to play that game and win that game? Should be fun. 6 points will be available to us between now and the next time we speak on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford. Remember to support the people that support Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay. BillCurryFord.com. My name is Tom Lang. We will talk again next week. March is here, and that means the playoffs are ever closer, Tampa Bay. Enjoy the heck out of your weekend.